appreciate so much that it's gone before and the good sound preaching that we've had here this afternoon. And I do beg an interest in your prayers that the Lord would be with me just for a little while this afternoon. In your scriptures, turn with us to the book of Philippians, chapter number 2. Very familiar scripture, verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above name, Emmanuel, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. He gave him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Apostle Paul, he knew how to write to the Gentiles, and I'm glad. But we see in this time of year, and I know y'all are not like me, y'all don't get caught up in all the tinsel and the rigmarole of this time of season, but I do. But when you look at the reality of Christmas against everything else, Christmas has become hopeless, mulled, and confused. The humility and the poverty of the manger is up against the wreaths and the glamour of the season. The quietness of the manger is up against the malls and the clutter and the traffic. Salesmen get mixed up with shepherds. Angels are confused with flying reindeer. The pain of childbirth is mixed with parties. The reality of Christmas is the glory of the Lord, but it's been so obscured with all the activities of the season. Santa takes a prominent play over Christ. But in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 11, we have the true meaning of Christ's birth. Life revealed by the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul wasn't around when all of that happened. All we have in this verse that the Apostle Paul is telling the church at Philippi, all we have is Christ. There's no Mary, there's no Joseph, there's no manger, there's no swaddling clothes, there's no angels, there's no wise men. It's just Christ. And like I said this morning, if you keep Christ in the manger, we're going to have what we have this time of year. Because that's where everybody wants to keep him. They want to keep him in the manger. But Jesus was born, and we have it. I mean, the Apostle Paul, and if God give me grace in the next little while, I want to cover this. We have the incarnation of Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit God, conceived in a virgin, and she brought forth a son. They called his name Jesus, for for he shall save his people from their sins. And as we look at these things, we see first that Christ here, as we see Christ abandoning a sovereign position in heaven in immortal glory to come to a sin-cursed earth, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That word form comes from the word morph, where we get metamorphosis, where the caterpillar goes into a cocoon and then changes to a... It's the same creature, but it's changed from one form to another form. Jesus Christ was the sovereign of the universe. And he was can and found in a form of a man. He morphed, that's what the word here, to a man. And he was all man, and he was all God. Now, I'm not going to try to explain it. I'm just going to preach it. Because this is what he said. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But made of himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, even after he was morphed into a human. Then he changed that form into a servant. A perfect servant. Before Abraham was, I am. That's what he could say to all of his apostles, his disciples. Before Abraham was, I am, because I am the great I am. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. These people want to make controversy over the virgin birth this time of year, because every time all the songs we sing is talking about silent night, holy night, talking about the virgin. And then they'll say, well, and I appreciate so much Brother Roy's talking about these different perversions of God's word, because they want us to take a young maid. I mean, you can pick them wherever. And they were other virgins in that day. And God could have picked any of them. But he picked one because that's who he picked. He's sovereign. He can do what he wants to. But without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And it still boggles the mind. Because even the Bible, when it was being told Mary over there, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. It's impossible for a virgin to conceive naturally. So without controversy, and there's no controversy here with y'all, the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. 1 Timothy 3:16. Colossians 1:15, the apostle Paul again telling the church at Colossae, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Who? Emmanuel. God with us. He is the image of the invisible God. For by him were all things created. See, this is what is a mystery to me. When this infant was born, well, let's go back. Before he was ever born, he was already conceived in his mother. And his mother goes visits Martha, which is ready, just about ready to deliver a man named John. And just at the presence of the Lord there, John the Baptist leaps for joy in his mother's womb. See, that's mysterious to a lot of people. Now, it's not to us today. But he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him, who, Jesus Christ, were all things created. Now, I want you to remember that when I get ahead. But I want you to remember, Christ Jesus created everything that was created. Apostle Paul says so. By him, Jesus Christ, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones, dominion, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things. Before Abraham was, I am, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, in that all things he might have preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace, why? Because he's the Prince of Peace. He made peace through the shed blood of himself on the cross at Calvary. That's why we got to get Jesus out of the manger and get him to the cross. But we can't stop at the cross. We've got to go to the tomb. And we've got to go back now to the empty tomb. Because even if you just go to the cross, you ain't gone far enough. Because he's not in the tomb. Where is he at today? He's standing. Well, he said he went back and sat down, but you know what? He stood up for Stephen. I think he'll stand up for you too. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto him, by him I say, whether they be of things of earth or things in heaven. Brought my cough syrup. Christ gave up his honor, his glory in heaven, and became a man. And as a man, he was mocked, beaten, ridiculed, spit on, and crucified. Secondly, he accepted a servant's place. We already read that. Took the form of a servant and was made in likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the sovereign ruler, the master of our salvation, and now he's a servant. Nowhere to live, despised by religion of that day. And he washed feet. He washed feet. Jesus approached a sinful people, willing to be a servant. He had to enter this sin-cursed planet called Earth. Being found in the fashion as a man, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus was always God. But God became a man. I mean, this is just, it's like that thing, poof. I mean, this blows your mind. He pre-existed as God pre-existed. The scriptures that Brother Royce just got through telling you, there's no fallacy there, says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Christ had everything that all men have except one thing. He had no sin. He was like Adam before the fall. That hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, that first Adam, the second Adam. Being found in the fashion as a man, Christ was just like all other men of that day, except without sin. Just like. He eat, he drank, he sleep. And I got it wrote down like this because it means something to me. He was wrapped in clothes just like we were. When he was born as a man, just like we are. He was wrapped in baby clothes just like we are. He had brothers and sisters just like we had. He was destined to die just like we are. He had pain just like we do. He was loved just like we are. And he was hated just like we can be. And he wept like we weep. But he adopted a selfless posture. He humbled himself. And being found in the fashion of the man, became obedient. And I want you to think about this. It's just another just poof. As he was helping his natural father Joseph in the carpenter shop build a yoke for an oxen, he created the oxen. And he's building an apparatus for two oxen to work together that he created. When he bowed down and washed his disciples' feet, he created their brain. But he humbled himself to get down at their feet. And he was the one that created every one of them. Designed their body. Jesus Christ was utterly selfless. And then we get to the latter part. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. The Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, Emmanuel, all of those. Given him a name which is above every name. For whosoever exalted himself shall be abased. This is what he tells his disciples. And he that humbleth self shall be exalted. And Paul told Timothy in chapter 6, verse 15, which in the times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. And I'll put another amen on that one. Humility, then exaltation. that at the name of Jesus. See, we live in a society today, boy, don't name that name. You can say whatever you can call any of the other so-called gods you want to, but let's don't say Jesus. There was a public school just in the last few weeks ago wouldn't let the teachers pass out candy canes. Because if you hold them upside down, it'll be a J, and J stands for Jesus. Out of all that I don't like about this time of year, that's at least one time people are singing about Jesus and all. And most of them don't even know what they're singing about. But there's going to be a time that everybody's going to know.
Yes, that's right.
That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There's going to be a day that every knee is going to bow down to Jesus Christ. And that's where we get the saying is, they will not be a single atheist in hell. We know there's going to be folks in hell. I don't know how many. The Bible says Jesus came to give his life a ransom for many. I know what the definition of many is, the greater portion of the whole. So there's going to be many in heaven, but I think there's going to be a lot in hell too. I don't know how many. But there won't be no atheist in hell, because there's going to be a day every knee's going to bow down and every tongue's going to confess Jesus is the Lord of all. They're going to bow to the supreme King of Kings, the great and only potentate and Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. His name is Christ, our captain of our salvation. And everyone will bow, some to adoration and some in judgment. Some in worship and some in condemnation. Then bring it to a personal response to us today. Every tongue will confess Jesus is the Lord. I want to confess Him now.
Amen.
I want to confess Him now. To the glory of God the Father. Why? Because He is the great and only potentate. Till you read the 19th, 20th chapter of Revelation, and you see those things when God's coming back, and He's going to have written on His thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He's going to be coming, riding on that white horse. Again, but says His vesture is as it were dipped in blood. And all the ones falling after Him coming adorned in white linen, white as it could be. Why? Because His was dipped in blood. His talk to tell you, you'd look at that over there. And I mean, he's coming with a sword, and I mean, he's coming with his holy armies behind him. See, a lot of people don't want to picture Jesus coming that way. They want to make him that, they want to keep him in the manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. Why? Because he won't harm anybody there. But if we see him as our King of Kings today and Lord of Lords, that's what's going to make us condemned even in our own sin while we walk here on this life. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus our Lord. May the Lord bless you, my prayer.